How have you been doing? I'm sorry I did not inform you that I was traveling to Philippines for a business trip.
It's the perfect length.
Back. It is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com, episode 151 of the show. Reminder, guys, go to iTunes and like the show there. Like, rate, review. I see some new reviews, including from someone called Old Asante, who says, first show of the year was effing OMG fabulous. I resolve for 2017 to be funnier, much funnier, and that means more bourbon and all the baller lifestyle I can get. We appreciate that, Old Asante. We would appreciate Thank it you. If you, yes, also went to the baller life or to iTunes and rated the show there. That voice you heard is our very own Ed Daly. Ed, how's it going?
I'm sorry to break protocol. I forgot.
No, that's okay. I
heard a nice review.
Yeah, we're nice. More loose in 2017. Less formal, less rigid.
I had this thought. We had talked, I think, before the show last week that I finally watched Westworld. And I don't want to get into a full breakdown.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, maybe that was it. Because you had mentioned you had seen it like before the holidays, and I just like binged it over
Robot
Christmas
fucking,
break.
Yes.
Yeah, but I it just kind of like dawned on me that like I hadn't really processed the show, and we won't get into the show itself, but the idea is like there's a utopia where like rich people pay to have vacation there, where it's like robots, That's you right. know, recreating the old West, right? Yes. Yep. And the first thing that everybody seems to want to do is kill and rape.
Yes.
And like, obviously the writers have a dim view of human, just humankind, but... And it's a little Lord of the Flies-ish, right? Like, everything just ends up with murder and everything. But I wondered, like, are laws what's stopping people from just being rapists? Like, that's a weird leap. Like, I don't know. It's not like I've ever thought, Jesus, if there wasn't a law right now, I would just totally tackle that woman and kill or rape her. Well, like, that's not... I don't know.
That's something that's
there are some people, right?
Yeah.
But like they made it seem like that's what all rich people would do, of course. They would just kill and rape.
Well, there's always been this sort of, I'm not a religious person, but I'm not anti-religion either. But there's always, I've encountered throughout my life people who are like, oh, you're agnostic, you don't subscribe to religion. They make it seem as though you need to have some sort of faith to keep you from to have some sort of moral code to live by.
Which, yeah, like what's stopping
yes,
you?
Yes, which I always thought was preposterous. I don't need to be afraid of what's going to happen to me when I die to live by the golden rule. That is innately born into all of us, unless you have something wrong with your brain chemistry,
right? Or locked in jail for that matter. I mean, yes. I get why we have to have some rules, but like. That's not what's preventing me from murdering someone. It's like, I just don't want a dead body to happen because of me.
And if there's no consequences, I would argue that it's not fun. Like, if you could just go and kill everyone and there's no possibility that they could kill you back, what the fuck is, how would you pay 30 grand to go do that for a week or however much it costs to go to Westworld? That part... I just couldn't get my mind around where, well, how much fun could it be? It would get boring after 5 minutes because you could do whatever you wanted and nothing bad could happen to you. So who gives a fuck?
Right.
Yeah.
Fuck Westworld. The other thing I wanted to bring up, and this is very philosophical and just out of curiosity. Yeah. I of course didn't watch any award shows because
not.
Just like you talking about the NFL draft, like I could read about it the next day. Like any highlight, I could watch, the next morning every relevant clip. But anyway, I still didn't see the speech, but I know the big buzz was about Meryl Streep. And a buddy texted me and was saying, like, isn't this just preaching to the choir, talking about the arts to a room full of
yes,
of people, the Golden Globes. And I totally agree. But then I was thinking, like, isn't at this point everything preaching to the choir? Like, literally everything in the world is preaching to the choir. And I was thinking, I don't know if I've heard an argument that's changed my mind since I was like a child.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, I read facts and make up my mind about something. And then the type of opinion pieces that either resonate with me or don't depends if they agree with me or not. And is that just because I'm like older and just like set in my ways? Yeah. Or is it like I've never read somebody arguing? It could be any political piece. It could be music.
Yeah.
When you read Rolling Stone say, this is a great album. And like, remember I was saying I hadn't listened to the new Bowie. And like this past week, I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah.
To me, it wasn't good.
Right.
it was not interesting. Yeah. And I like Bowie fine, but I was not interested at all, despite everybody saying this is, you know, one of the great albums of the year. And I realized, like, there's really no arguments really get to me anymore. I don't know if it's just me or everybody.
No,
like,
that's everybody.
I mean, right? Like, everyone just kind of preaches to the choir, and you read and you like or retweet or whatever things that you agree with. But, like, I don't, has anyone read, like, an argument and be like, shit, like, was there one person, like, literally one person who listened to Meryl Streep and was like, whew, she makes some salient points. I have completely changed my opinion on Trump. What's the point of it?
If you listen to what she said, and let's be clear, we're not doing a political show here.
But I'm just saying I am as guilty as every person across the spectrum. I've never changed my mind in the last however many years.
The gist of what she said is, don't be a bully because bullying breeds more bullying. And appreciate the arts and involve yourself in the arts and enjoy the arts.
I totally agree with all of that.
Yeah, there's not really anything to disagree with. So I don't know, like, what, like, people were real up in arms, but it wasn't what she said. If you just listen to what she said, was not controversial in any way.
Right. The only thing I liked about it is it's one more set of people shunning a guy who desperately wishes he wasn't shunned.
That's true.
That's the only funny part. But like, I'm just saying, like, is it me that I'm old, or does anyone get swayed by any argument ever?
No.
Like,
no.
I really don't know.
No. It's it's unless it's something that you haven't really thought about, and then it comes from someone who you esteem or otherwise feel, you know, is a compelling voice on something, then that's how you're convinced. But I guess that's just learning. These days, people only seek out opinions that they agree with, which is why I never, there's a few conversations if you meet me in real life, if you come to, I'm talking to listeners here, if one of you comes here and buys me a beer and it's very convenient for me to meet you, I will meet you for a beer. I've met listeners for beers before.
Same. Yeah.
If it's convenient for me, it has to be very convenient for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Here
has to have perfectly aligned with the schedule.
Here are topics I will never engage you on. Sports. Religion.
I'll talk sports.
Politics. Because one, the only thing I care less about than being convinced of your opinion about something is trying to convince you of my opinion. Because I don't care. I don't care what you think. And I don't care to be swayed to your side of things. So, I mean, I will talk sports. The thing is, I don't have like a lot of sports knowledge. I can't really get in depth. And I get real bored if we're talking about who's running the two deep zone and if the kid from North Carolina is better than the kid from Notre Dame in the draft. Like, I don't know about that stuff. Like, I don't really pay attention.
Yeah. But that was it. Yeah, yes. I agree. Like it's like even music, like no matter what people argue, it's just I don't know. I'm not buying it.
Yeah, no, I get it, buddy. I'm with you. Right. I totally agree with you. We're now on Google Play. Our listener Unicorn Killa reached out on Twitter and said, "Hey, when are you gonna get in Google Play?" So I Googled, how do I get my podcast on Google Play? And I sent him my RSS feed. And so now if you get podcasts on Google Play, then it's there. And we're also in the Microsoft store. So, and the only reason we're in these places, I don't know these places exist. I'm not a tech guy.
You were one step ahead of me. I had to Google what Google Play was.
Right. I didn't really know about it either, but I did see that, like, in Chrome, if you use Chrome, it's one of the apps there in Chrome. But my point is that if there is a, like, somebody hit me up over the holidays and was like, hey, I tried to find your show on Podbean. And I'm like, oh, I'm on that. And then they're like, show me on their phone. And they're like, no, look. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm not. So that's another one I got to get on. Podbean. I'll get on that. But if there's a place where you get podcasts that you cannot find this show, just let me know. Either reach out on Twitter at Brian Beckner or send me an email, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com, and just let me know, hey, here's where I get all my other podcasts. I don't see your show there because I don't know about this stuff. I don't know where people get shows. So you just tell me and I'll make sure that we get the show there. Okay. Okay. Ed, no, we have some emails to get to later, but I'm going to save them for the fancy sauce portion of the show. Cause there's one that specifically relates to something we were speaking about last week in Fancy Pop. So I just say we get into it. Like, what is going on in the world of sports? Let's talk some sports.
All right, let's do it. Former NBA player Dikembe Mutombo warned his followers three separate times that his email account had been hacked and used for fraudulent emails that suggested he was in Philippines and in need of cash. Now, luckily for everybody, Deadspin tracked down the emails, which said,
how have you been doing? I'm sorry I did not inform you that I was traveling to Philippines for a business trip. Please, I will be needing your urgent help with some cash at the moment. My credit cards are not working over here, and I need some sort of hotel bills and book a return ticket. I want you to make a return Western Union transfer for $3,450 to my name and present location. I will make a refund once I find myself back home. Get back to me so I can forward you details on how to make the transfer to me, Dikembe Mutombo.
That's a very long chairman, email.
Chairman and President, Dikembe Mutombo Foundation.
Yeah.
Now, Brian, what's lamer? Email scams or Dikembe Mutombo's finger wagging after every goddamn block?
When all you do is one thing, like Dikembe Mutombo, good defensive player, but this the
shit offensive player.
Yeah, it's the only
he's in the
thing
Hall
he could
of Fame,
do.
I read.
Like, he didn't.
He's in the Hall of Fame?
Is
what?
He? No, he's not.
The story that I clicked on, it said NBA Hall of Famer Dikembe Mutombo.
Well, that's just crazy. Because all he could do is, like, he didn't even need to run down on offense because he never did anything. Right. He'd get a putback here and there. But it's okay to sort of peacock it a little bit if you're sort of doing everything out there. Like, if you're Jimmy Butler or James Harden, like, you're doing everything on the floor, then you can wag your finger. Now this, I would not buy this Dikembe Mutombo thing because I feel like Dikembe Mutombo would have access to some money. Like, he would not need to reach out via email to me. Like, if he had access to email, he had access to money to buy a ticket. Now, if it were Antoine Walker, on the other hand, I would be like, I once walked out of a bar in Chicago as Antoine Walker was walking in, and I was like, wait, can he afford to be in here? Like, is somebody gonna have
maybe
to buy,
I'm in the wrong place.
Somebody gonna have to buy, does he work here? Is it like, how's this work?
I told you a story about the, I used to work with the brother of a basketball coach that worked on the Celtics with Walker.
No.
When he was there. Oh, so he's now the coach of, let's say, Seton Hall or something, right? But he used to be, he's part of the Pitino family tree.
Sure.
And so he was like the video coordinator or something. And he used to like drive Dikembe to like, I mean, Dikembe, Antoine Walker to like go get lunch or something from the facility.
Yeah.
And Antoine Walker would be like, man, you got to start living large. Like, this car is shit. And like, and he would be like, look at my wallet. Nothing but hundreds in there. 100, 100, 50. What's that doing there? And he rolled down the window and threw a 50 out the window onto the highway. And like, sure enough, that guy's bankrupt down the road.
What are the odds?
Yeah. But yeah, he was pretty much telegraphing that he would be broke.
I love those stories, like Mike Tyson's driving from Connecticut to Florida, and then he's at some point along the way, he gets sick of shifting his Ferrari, so he pulls into a Rolls-Royce dealership and buys a Rolls-Royce to drive it the rest of the way down to Florida. Sound decision. Or Allen Iverson never packed clothes to go on the road. He would just buy new clothes in every city. Like, I just leave them there.
Amazing. Why would the money ever run?
Amazing. okay, what else is going on?
All right. It's a hypothetical, but hypothetically speaking, if you were trying to get away with murder, what would you do? Like, what kind of things would you try to do? Let's say the murder's been committed.
Yeah. Well, what do you do? I once went on a camping trip, and by the way, F-0 stars, do not recommend, would never offer to do as much again. But this was a very long time ago when I was a little younger and drunker, and it was a bunch of guys camping on this beach at this lake, and there was a bunch of guys I didn't know, and we were just kind of sitting there in chairs one day, and one guy, while we were there, had a very, very vivid, detailed description about how he would kill his mother-in-law and hide the body, and how and it was like
a little too descriptive.
It was like the Scott Peterson. It was around the time of Scott Peterson, I think, and he was like, no, what you do, he's like, you roll the body up in chicken wire, you don't weight down the limbs, you roll the whole body up in chicken wire, and then you put carabiners on each side, and then you weight that down, so it pulls the cement buckets pull the whole chicken wire roll down to the bottom, and then the fish eat the body, and you don't no pieces of body part fly up because you don't have like the weighted arms coming out of the socket. And I was like, holy fucking shit. Like, how do I get off this beach? So first thing I would do is I would probably not describe to random strangers how I would dispose of the body. That would probably be one thing I'd do.
That's a good one.
I would, you know, have an alibi. I would, you know, be out of the country. I wouldn't be like, oh, I was chipping golf balls, or I was in the shower, I was taking a nap, or me and Cato were at the McDonald's. And, you know, I would have like a pretty airtight alibi that I was in a different place. That would be the number one thing I'd do.
Less is more, like very quiet, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. Well, former New England Patriot and Florida Gator Aaron Hernandez had a slightly different approach. Prosecutors described in court the other day that there's a tattoo that indicates that he got in 2013 that indicates he may have committed a double homicide. The tattoo, they claim, depicts a gun and 5 bullets Hernandez allegedly used to shoot and kill Daniel De Abreu and Safiro Furtado outside a Boston nightclub in 2012.
Yeah.
They think this tattoo depicts the same type of gun used in the shooting. They also said he has another tattoo with a semi-automatic handgun, a bullet, and a puff of smoke, which they say represents the alleged incident which Hernandez shot his friend Alexander Bradley in the face and left him for dead in Florida. Now, Bradley survived and will likely testify against Hernandez in this trial. A third tattoo at the same time as the two handgun tattoos says, "God forgives." Now, Assistant DA Patrick Hagen reportedly said that Hernandez's tattoos are, in fact, an admission by Mr. Hernandez. Now, Brian, although I really hope the prosecution has more evidence than trying to draw meaning from shitty tattoos, how dumb is Hernandez for leaving this permanent set of breadcrumbs?
Well, he's very stupid. He went to Florida. I really want him to go to court, and then I want him to do that thing that they do in like movies where they have like all the suspects' pictures on a bulletin board, and then they tack like pieces of yarn to like connect the dots.
Yes.
But they do that. But
why the yarn?
I don't know.
The yarn seems it doesn't seem like a modern approach, and yet like they still use it. They use yarn a lot. I haven't seen yarn in years.
Like right now, Ed, if I was like, hey, I'm setting up a bulletin board, we're gonna bust this case, it's The Wire, go out and get me some yarn. Like, where would you even go? Like, how, like a craft store?
Hey, who knits around here?
Does anyone's grandma knit?
I'm trying to solve a murder. Can somebody get me some goddamn yarn? I mean,
we're never going to crack the case unless we have red and blue yarn. Two colors. But it would be funny if they made him take his shirt off in court and the prosecutor went up there with like a length of yarn and would see exhibit A, this tattoo. And then he would connect it. He's like, here's the gun. Here's the other tattoo that also depicts a murder.
Soon as chest and arms look like the inside of the garage in A Beautiful Mind, just like yes, yeah. Post-it notes yeah. and shit everywhere.
This, and you think you're like, oh yeah, well he could just say, oh, it's just tattoos. Well, there was a murder case here where I am, Los Angeles, California. And this was a few years ago. And they were like these, it was a gang shooting and some guys got shot in front of a liquor store. And they're like, we think it's this one gang member, but we're not sure. We're going to bring him in. And the gang member, the guy's name, I recall this was Chopper. And they're like, this guy, we think this guy Chopper.
That's kind of a lame gang name, right?
I don't know how he got that name.
Unless you're cutting people, like Chopper sounds like, hey, come here, Chopper. Like it's the gang dog.
I just assume like all the gang names they get from colors, like Rocket and like Clown and like, you know, like there's only so many gang names, but apparently there's all different ones. So they bring this guy Chopper in, and because he's in a gang, they have to take pictures of his tattoos. Like that's the rules you get. And he might have been on a probation violation or anything, but if you're in a gang, it's, you know, this might be a First Amendment case. I don't know. But they get to take pictures of all your tattoos and catalog them. And so they take this fucking guy's shirt off. And on his chest, he has a huge tattoo, shittily done by one of his buddies, but able to make out. It's a picture of a helicopter, Chopper. Mm-hmm. And the helicopter is shooting some guys in front of a store. And the store is like very detailed, the exact location where the guys got shot in front of the store. And this guy, Chopper, went to prison largely based on the fact that he had a tattoo of the fucking actual crime drawn on his chest. What I'm saying is that Aaron Hernandez could easily, well, they have tons of evidence on him anyway, including eyewitnesses and shit, and lots of, he was there that night.
Right,
they
including the friend who he shot in the face but didn't finish the job.
Yes, I think, well, yeah, his the friend he shot in the face, he shot him in the face because the friend's like, hey, we got to talk about that thing that happened in Boston. and that made Aaron Hernandez, who was probably on PCP at the time because he likes to smoke PCP, it made him irate. Like the guy has a temper. And when you mention the two murders he did while you were there, he gets a little mad and he shoots you in the face. So I don't think this is going to go too well. Seems like an odd move
to bring up the murder with a guy who you know has no problem in ending human lives.
No, I would not mention
it. I would be like, if I had a buddy that was like known to kill, I'd be very soft-stepping each conversation. I'd be like, so how about things.
Yes.
Like I try to keep it real vague. Like,
no tension.
You feel that breeze? Yes. What the fuck's that supposed to mean? Yes. Now I'm just saying maybe we didn't feel the breeze. I don't know.
I'd be like one of those Mike Tyson yes men. I'd be like, well, hey, what do you need, champ? Anything I can get you, champ? You want another iced tea? Hey, champ, you think about getting a tiger? That's a great idea, champ. Champ, I was gonna say you should get a tiger. Yeah, champ. You want to buy a Rolls Royce? Get a fucking Rolls Royce, champ. I was just going to tell. Like, I would be the most agreeable dude in all, especially if the guy was, you know, if you had witnessed him kill a couple other dudes before.
I love how, for some reason, Urban Meyer doesn't get any shit for having. I mean, he had a ton of goons on his team. Hernandez is, of course, the worst, but he just had Tebow, and like that's supposed to right all the wrongs of all the shitty players he's had.
Because Tebow loves Jesus and circumcises orphans.
Right. Right.
Okay, what else?
If only he could stop bullets.
Right.
Okay, let's move over to hockey. Now, in 2006, an 11-year-old boy sent a letter to his favorite hockey player, young Caps superstar Alexander Ovechkin. The letter contained a hockey card and a self-addressed stamped envelope and a note to Ovechkin that read, "If you don't sign this and send it back to me, when I make it to the NHL, I'm going to give you a big body check."
That's great.
Now, understandably, Ovi never responded.
Right.
Well, that boy, Miles Wood, grew up and is now the New Jersey Devil rookie winger. When the Devils played the Caps, Ovechkin caught wind of Wood's story and before the game sent over a signed photo to the Devils' dressing room that said, "Take it easy tonight." The Devils won 2-1 in a shootout, and the two got together for a picture after the game. Now, everyone took away a cute story from this, but the bigger question is, what kind of asshole parents would let their son send a threatening letter to someone?
That's crazy.
Like, if your son did that, you'd be like, yeah. I mean, like, you're kind of a psychopath.
Yeah. The former guest of the Baller Lifestyle podcast, Travis Rogers.
Yes.
He once tried to send I don't know if it was threatening, but it was a very critical letter to Rams quarterback Dieter Brock. But his mom quickly put a stop to that because he has good parents. His parents were like, no, you're not some asshole kid.
Threatening a grown man? Stop it.
Sending a letter to Dieter Brock. But I will say this. Back in the 50s, the studio system, if you sent a fan letter to, this is before the internet. If you sent a fan letter to Clark Gable or Rock Hudson, it would come to the studio and some secretary would sign his name to an 8x10 and send it back to you. And then you would open your mail one day and you'd be like, holy shit, Rock Hudson signed a picture of himself. And someone in your family probably has like a signed picture from Marilyn Monroe or Jane Russell or somebody that was big back then. And you're like, holy shit, this is an heirloom. Well, guess what? They didn't fucking sign it. Somebody at the studio did it. That was their job to have the secretary sign it. The same thing, especially in this day and age where people are a little more angry, it seems. They have better access to weapons. People seem to be a little more unhinged. Like, how hard is it to have your assistant or whoever takes care of that shit for you or somebody from the team, everything that comes into the team, just fucking turn it around, send it back. It would be very easy to have an intern do that, and then you wouldn't get hip checked by some guy on the Devils 10 years later, right?
Yeah, but all that being said, I would notify my assistant that if anyone gets spicy with their request, do not sign it. Yeah. Just ignore it. Fuck that kid.
Yeah, but that's the one that puts you on a list. These people,
that's true.
People like that make lists, Ed. Like in Billy Madison, Steve.
That's right. Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi had a list. Hey, dropping names. Saw Steve Buscemi at a concert not that long ago, like a few weeks ago, and dude's looking kind of old.
Yeah, I saw him and he was doing that Louis C.K. online thing.
Did you watch that?
I watched the first episode and I was like, this is something you got to be like, it's heavy.
It sounds
like,
insanely depressing.
Yeah, and so I wouldn't say it's bad. It was one of those things I was like, oof, I got to pick the time where I really want to go all in on this thing. So I plan to eventually.
Yeah, right.
Like, I really do, but it was like, when I watched that first episode, I was kind of expecting, you know, Buscemi could be pretty funny and affable.
Yeah.
And I knew nothing about it. It was like Louis C.K. sent out an email. It was like, hey, I got a new show online. You want to check it out? And so I checked it out within like a week, and it was depressing. It was sad.
I've heard him interviewed about it, and it sounds like it's a pretty heavy thing. I will say this, Steve Buscemi, one of my all-time favorites, like really
terrific
such
actor.
A good actor and just a good dude. I've fucking liked him in everything he's ever been in. So
how about another Adam Sandler movie? He was fantastic in The Wedding Singer.
Oh yeah. Great, great movie.
Where he's like, he does the best man speech. Yeah. I mean, this is probably the final Adam Sandler movie I ever watched.
The last good Adam Sandler movie. Yeah.
But he's like, he's giving the best man speech and he's like, hey, so remember that time in Mexico? I guess there were hookers. And then he gets all drunk and he goes, best man, mean better man.
Yeah,
and then
yes, so good.
He grabs the guitar from the guitar player and starts playing it. The best guitar player in the world.
So good.
He's awesome.
I always want. I've never been at an unhinged best man speech wedding, but I would definitely like to attend one.
I was at one where the best man definitely had sex with his brother's wife, like before they got married, and made several references to it. Super uncomfortable.
Eskimo brothers, brothers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, real brothers.
Wow. That's
and there were a lot of references and like a lot of uncomfortable stares at our table. Like, you know, the relatives, you know, Aunt Joan didn't know what the fuck was going on, but we all knew. It was
really I'm not the jealous type. I don't judge anybody's past. We all have a past. No. We've all made decisions in our life. And I don't, like, to me, who someone's had sex with is just not any of my business. I don't care. But if my betrothed had banged, like, my dad, my brother, you know, like
it's a little too close.
Yeah, like a blood relative.
Literally close to home. Literally close to home.
I wouldn't judge the person, my beloved. But I would. It would be a hard. I think it would be a bridge too far. I just don't think personally I would be able to see past. I would have visions of that every time it. You know, we got close to banging.
And another thing that is, it's not really related, but it's another thing that I always wonder.
Yeah.
And I know it happens a lot when I see somebody marry someone with the same name as their sister or mother.
That is weird. Yeah.
Or dad or brother. I see it sometimes and you're like, that's got to be weird. It's got to be weird to like get naked with someone of the same name as your sister.
Yeah, that would be, I think that would be a little weird. Very weird.
I don't know. I see it from time to time and I want to ask that question, but at the same time, I don't want to plant a seed that they hadn't been thinking about. Like, oh, yeah, that is weird.
Or, like, you know how sometimes couples kind of look like they could be brother or sister? Like, sometimes sometimes somebody will inadvertently mate up with someone that looks like their brother or sister. That's a little weird. That's a little heavy. Ed, before we move on, I got it. Last week, Writes a Bill has written me a song.
Terrific.
We played it last week, but then Writes a Bill. Then we got on to other content that was less lively than the content we did. And he felt we had really not given his song its due credit. Like,
well, so, I think we should play that song each week going into the non-sports.
Yeah, okay, let's do that. I'm gonna play it now. Here's Writes a Bill's new song, My Name is Brian, which I happen to love.
Brian, they call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be.
Breathtaking. It's breathtaking.
I can't. It's perfectly written. It's perfectly produced. It's perfectly performed. It's the perfect length. Like, he just gets in there. He calls me homosexual a whole bunch of times and in a very funny way. And then it ends. I love it.
Yeah. It's a well done. But I was thinking of the original song. Wasn't the original song about like child molestation or something?
Luca.
Or homelessness?
No, Luca lived on the second floor and she never really, Luca's a sexually ambiguous name. And
I thought it was a boy.
It is a boy's name, right? But there could be a girl called Luca too, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm not judging the name itself. I just feel like that was in the era of a lot of message songs.
No, it was in the 80s. It was by Suzanne Vega, and it was a child abuse theme. Yeah, Luca abuse, was getting his ass beat upstairs on the second floor.
A lot of message songs. Like, it was like they saw the special, very special episodes on TV, and they're like, all right, let's do some very special songs.
A lot of them. A lot of real bummers. Tracy Chapman, You got a fast car.
Yeah.
Like, life fucking sucks.
And what was that band that had the runaway train and it was like a bunch of homeless or runaways?
Soul Asylum from Minneapolis. Yeah. Dave Perner.
Yeah.
What's,
yeah, there were a lot of message songs.
I was banging Winona Ryder at the time in her prime.
Oh, like, that is peak Ryder.
What was he so bummed about the child abuse for? Like, calm down, dude. Like,
yeah.
Life's going pretty good.
Who has time to worry about that shit?
Yeah. What are you up to now, Dave Perner? You're probably still doing that song.
Not Winona.
Some club somewhere.
Yeah, not Winona.
And a lot of people were hitting us up over in the past week about Scarface the Pitbull.
Yeah.
Scarface is a pit bull that lives in, I mean, if I had to give you a guess, if I gave you three guesses as to which state in the union Scarface lives in, where would you guess that Scarface the pit bull lives at?
California, North Dakota, or Florida.
Oh yes, that's right. Florida. Florida and the NBA, the only places where people still think Scarface is a good movie. They named these people.
What I remember, it goes really long, right?
It's really long. It's really bad. He does a really bad accent the entire time. The characters are cartoon. Like, everything about it sucks. You look back on it fondly. You're like, Brian De Palma, like Al Pacino, hot Michelle Pfeiffer. Orange County native.
And what's his name? Robert Loggia. He was a good character.
Robert Loggia. He was always good. You can't fault Robert Loggia. And the dude that played Al Pacino's buddy. He was good in that. But
Stephen Bauer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But other than that, the movie's terrible. There's people who like that movie. Some people in the Tampa area. They have a dog called Scarface. Scarface the pit bull. And they made the mistake sometime around Christmas trying to put a sweater on Scarface. And Ed, you'd be shocked. The pit bull called Scarface did not want a sweater to be put on it. He did not want a sweater to be put on to the level that he went on to maul not one, not two, but three members of the family, including one that was able to stab their beloved family member, Scarface. And that always, when people are like, hey, the dog is a part of my family. Like, I would do anything for my dog. I love my dog so much. Except when he goes a little bit crazy, I'll try to stab him in the head with a knife. Anyway,
if he's mauling people, I guess you have to.
I guess, but if you're like, maybe your child got, went rabid somehow or something, and you would exhaust every opportunity before.
That's what I always point out to people when they're like, oh, it's just like a kid. And I'm like, no, but there's a price tag on every dog.
That's right.
There's a price tag. Like,
it's like $1,500.
I mean, hey, I love that dog, but fuck, I couldn't. Deal with spending another $8,000 on Bosco.
Exactly.
Sorry, we had to put Bosco down.
Sorry, I apologize.
If you said that about your kid, $8,000. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid, love that kid. Love that kid, but $8,000.
It's too much. It's too down. Much.
Too much. Sorry, broken leg, you're out, buddy.
So anyway, this Scarface was eventually subdued after the 22-year-old son got a knife and stabbed the dog in the head and the neck. So he landed a couple shots. Scarface was not deterred. The cops came over. They tased Scarface. But Scarface was able to wiggle out of the prongs of the taser. I feel like tasing technology needs to get a little better. Eventually, they were able to do that thing where they have the long stick with the loop at the end of it, and they got Scarface around, which is like the universally—
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah,
that's also something that seems very antiquated. Yeah. The old loop on the
hold
stick.
On, I'm going to tell you what that thing's called. They hit it with a beanbag gun also, which did nothing. Then they hit it with the taser. Oh,
there's no beanbag gun that's going to stop a pit bull named Scarface. No.
You know, pit bulls are, even a big pit bull is only like 75 pounds. Like, there's a lot bigger dogs.
But those things look like muscle.
Yeah, they're pure, like, in their jaws. Once they get on.
I have a buddy who has a big pit bull, and if that was trained to kill, that thing would kill. Yeah, it would
kill you. Eventually, it's called a catch pole. Eventually, the dog was captured by animal control using a catch pole. Everybody was taken to the hospital. I don't know. This happened a while ago, so I don't know. It's been a week. I don't know what's – because as of press time, they weren't sure if Scarface had to be euthanized or not. It would be funny if they just had the whole like Tampa PD show up to a mansion with like M16s and just like blast him coming down the stairs with a machine gun. Anyway, Ed, you'd think that of all the people to know that Scarface the Pitbull didn't fuck with sweaters, you would think it would be the people that named the Pitbull Scarface, right?
Exactly. And I mean, Christmas sweaters. I remember when I was like 6 or 7 having to put on some shitty Christmas sweater. My mom put it on. Yeah. And it's like, if I had really sharp teeth and the ability to make sure I don't have to wear that sweater at that age, I probably would have done something about it. But I was just a shitty little 6-year-old, so I had to take it. So, like, you know, Scarface is essentially Harambe in this situation.
Totally.
He's just doing what he does.
Killing squirrels out in the yard, doing whatever he does, intimidating people.
Fucking 22-year-old kids ready to murder him.
Stabbing him in the head and the neck.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool if Pitbull had a giant pile of milk bones, and then he comes down the steps. Say hello to my Bow Wow friend, and then they all shoot.
Milk bone dust all over his nostrils. He didn't put on the sweater, but he has like a silk kimono style robe on.
So dumb.
That would be pretty good. That actually brings up, Ed, you mentioned the Christmas sweater. That actually brings up a bad memory, because it was right as my childhood was going off the rails. My mom dressed me. She got me like this Christmas cardigan to go take a picture with my, like a Christmas, like a Sears or JCPenney, like studio picture with my brother and sister. I was probably about 14, and I had this stupid cardigan on. And at the time I was like, fancied myself kind of like a hippie rocker kid. So I had this like long, like fluffy fro that my mom was really annoyed with. And so she tried to like hairspray it and like
part it.
Yeah. Like shape it, put it into something. I just remember her going, what are you trying to do with this hair? And she, and so she like tried to get, like put it together with hairspray. And then I had to go take the picture, and I just ended up looking like Kirk Cameron's gayer, like bizarro gay Kirk Cameron. And that was like the end of the innocence. That's right there. Like, my childhood never recovered from that moment.
That reminds me, when this around Christmas time, I was at my mom's and I saw some, like, she had some pictures out of Christmas's past.
Oh, that's great.
I remember I was like 4th grade or something. Yeah. And like my aunt, we were at like my grandparents, and my aunt gave me a goddamn teddy bear for Christmas. And like, I was like told I got out, like everybody was like holding it, and there's a picture of like a group of us, and I'm holding a teddy bear, and I look like a kid in a hostage video. Like, I'm like holding this teddy bear, like, are you fucking kidding me? Like the Christmas Story where he's got to wear the big like bunny outfit, and he's just so sad. And I'm looking at that boy, the boy version of me holding a teddy bear, and I'm like, how did this fucking kid ever have sex in his life?
Oh my God, I wish that picture were on Instagram. That's much better than my
picture.
You
know what? I'll try to find it. It's a sad one.
Maybe next
time
Christmas.
I'm down to my mom's. I'll post it. It's a sad one. I have no problem posting a sad picture myself.
It sounds amazing.
Because luckily I did eventually have sex twice.
Good for you, buddy.
See, I got 2 kids.
Ed, speaking of people that like to have sex, the French. We're in a time. They call it populism now. We're in a populist era, a nationalistic era, where it's very important to express how America is the best place, and it's going to be even better than it ever was.
Exceptionalism.
Right. And exceptionalism. That's right. American exceptionalism. But it's It seems to me that those people that hold those opinions are people that haven't been to other places and seen how it's...
haven't been to other towns.
Yeah, like seen how it's like, oh, wait, it's actually kind of cool other places. Like these other people, right. They live pretty
benchmark.
Well.
Benchmarking is what you should be doing. Yeah. Always trying to find the next thing, not just try to make sure everything stays the
well,
same.
Well, somebody's really trying to step it up on us, and it's the French. And I'm pretty sure the Germans, the rigid... regimented, very precise Germans. They already have this rule, but now the French have adopted it. And it's a new law, federal law in France that your boss can't email you when it's not work time. So
terrific.
You kick off at 5 o'clock, and I used to have this boss, and I would wake up in the morning and I would have all these emails from her as a woman. I would have, not that that's germane to the story. I'm just, you know, elucidating, just drawing a picture here.
Right.
I would wake up and I would have all these emails from her that she had sent at like 2 o'clock in the morning asking me questions.
Lunatic.
What are you trying to prove, lady? Like, yeah, you work hard. Okay. But you can work hard till 7 o'clock, not 2 a.m. Anyway, that's not allowed anymore in France. You can't email your employees on the weekend. You can't email them in the evening. You got to email them during work. And if you're so basically, if you think of something, you got to set a reminder for the email to go out at 8 a.m. because it's otherwise you are breaking the law. So, Ed, I need to know, should we still pretend to be better than the French for their no weekend email rule, or just stick with the acting like their mandated 10 weeks of vacation is somehow a bad thing?
Yeah, people are, you're like shamed for thinking vacation's a good idea. Like being refreshed is definitely good for productivity. Maybe, you know, you take months and months off. That's, you know, maybe it's too much, but like, yeah, the fact that like I've worked in offices where any vacation time, it's like, oh, you're really going to use all your days.
Hey,
like,
what's up, what? Short timer?
Yeah, fuck off. And I remember being on a tuk-tuk in Thailand and getting a frantic call because I said, if there's an emergency, there's something with like blowing up with a client, you can reach me on Michelle's phone. And like calling about some bullshit, like, you know, just a regular trade. Oh, you're... customer, you know, really demands, and we need to take care of this week. It was like a Friday. I'm in Thailand, and it's like, this can't wait till fucking Monday.
Just handle it.
Like we've got to deal with this inverse IO immediately. It's like, off. Like it doesn't. Nothing matters. If everybody collectively said we're just gonna stop here, like the French are doing, there's like 5 important jobs that you need to be.
That's right.
Like on call all the time. There are like 5. Yeah. And guess what? Almost everybody is not working.
Nobody
that
within the sound of my voice has one of those
right?
jobs.
You're a doctor and you've got on call hours. Fine, that's different. That's, you know, you can't tell bodies when they're
those guys
doing
still
things.
Take vacations. You pass it off to some other dude. You
and
share
you respect
them.
It when he's on vacation. Yeah, yes. But I'm saying, like, when you've got on call hours, that's something else. Don't get shit faced when you might have to go to the hospital.
Do you think? The stress of that important bond trade that you were thinking about while you were on that tuk-tuk in Thailand, do you think that caused you to be unable to properly communicate that you wanted a hand job to the hand job mistress, to the person whose job expressly was only one thing, and that's giving dudes hand jobs?
Yeah, well, that did happen probably the next night.
Yes. Yeah.
But –
Bet you never put two and two together like that.
I was thinking, I may have added this part to the story, but that same night, I was out with like this lunatic Australian. Yeah. He's the one who took me to this place.
All Aussies are crazy.
I mean, yeah, like fucking cranked to 11 at all times. And we were out late in this club after the nonsense at the soapy massage place. And we're at a club in Thailand, and he hands me like a fistful of ecstasy, and I am just looking at my hand full of ecstasy, and like, I am in fucking Thailand. Yeah, like, I've seen these movies. Yeah, like, I've got to, and like, And I'm just looking around and I immediately, you know, have that moment of clarity. I mean, I've been drinking for 12 hours and been in all these crazy Thailand places. And I just had that moment of clarity. And I was like, okay, I need to. And I went right up to him and I took his he's wearing a button down shirt. And I took his breast pocket. I just dumped them all in there. And I was like, I am getting the fuck out of here. I cannot get arrested in Thailand with a lot of drugs, a lot of drugs.
No. Or even a little bit of drugs. Bad idea.
I'd still be in jail. Yeah. There's no question about it. I'd still be in jail. Yeah,
totally. You would. I'm gonna just jump right in because we're blessed to have with us a very pop culture correspondent. The one, the only. We're never quite sure she's going to make it onto the program, so... It's always nice to have her here, of course. That is, if she's not too stoned. Of course, I'm talking about our very own Fancy Sauce. How you doing, Fancy?
Hey, Cake.
Oh.
Oh, it's a little slow on the draw there.
Hey, you guys. Were you talking? I heard my name.
A little too high for the show.
I just heard you talk. You guys were talking about bosses that email on the weekend.
Oh, yeah, you have one of those. Yeah. But does he listen to the podcast?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
He likes a...
What nationality? American?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a white guy.
Yeah. Loves a 24/7.
I noticed, even though you work in a creative field, I noticed that when I attended your Christmas party, I was making small talk with a bunch of your coworkers there when I mentioned that I had a podcast, and they were like, oh... You do podcasts. I listen to podcasts, and I was telling about my podcast. I'm like, yeah, you should check it out. Kate's on it. And everyone went, huh? And kind of looked at me. She definitely does not broadcast that around the office.
I don't do a lot of chit-chatting. I don't do a lot of chit-chat with my coworkers.
You work in a creative field. This is a creative thing you do on the side.
An island at work.
Yeah. Because
there's a lot of superhero talk though, right?
A lot.
I mean, not involving me.
We don't do a lot of on the show.
A lot of comic book.
Oh, they're all nice guys.
Chatter. Yes.
Very nice. Yes. People that I work with.
Yes.
Sure. Sure. Just in case they're listening.
I told Kate that I recorded Deadpool on the. I saw that it was on HBO. I recorded it on the DVR, and I wish the guy that thinks she's stoned and uninterested on this show, I wish I could have framed her reaction to knowing that Deadpool was recorded on our DVR because it was like literally there was no air in the room.
I wasn't sure exactly what it was for a minute. And then I realized.
Yes.
And I'm still confused about why you've recorded it.
I don't know. I want to watch it. I heard it's good. I don't like those kind of movies, but I heard that one's different. Ed?
No. I saw it on a plane, and I got that recommendation. Well, this is not your average superhero.
Yeah, I heard it's like a little more R-rated, a little more funny. Yeah. It's not.
I don't know. And you know, my threshold on a plane, I'm willing to give a lot of things a shot just because. Totally. What else am I going to do?
That's true.
And it was like, maybe I only made it through 10, 15 minutes. It was 10 or 15 minutes of sass.
Oh, yeah.
I don't need sass.
Too sassy.
I don't want sass.
What's sass exactly?
Yeah, it's like a snark.
Oh.
Yeah, like, hey, I bet you wouldn't like a bullet hole through you. Like, you know, just,
no,
I don't know.
No.
Just like really, like, oh, no. I'm gonna crack wise while I murder
Ed has,
you.
Ed has totally destroyed any chance I may have had of ever watching.
I'm out.
Pump the fucking brakes on the sass, buddy.
Oh.
Did anyone notice if anyone watched the Golden Globes?
Yes.
Probably no one
Ed did not, but I did. I did.
What was going on? Like, they kept on having male and a female presenter would walk up, right? And the guy would have a really over-the-top orange spray tan, and the girl would have like untouched, never seen the sun, milky white skin. And the contrast was so shocking that I took two screen grabs, but there was more than that.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Was this like...
it a Trump?
Yeah, that's what people were saying.
I started to think that that's what it was. Yeah. Something was going on.
Yeah.
Michelle did tell me she was watching the other room, and she told me like as I was going to bed, she's like, oh, but you do have to see Ryan Gosling, he said something so sweet, and I was like, is it the fact that he's dreamy?
Yes.
Like, if Steve Buscemi had the same thing, do I need to watch it? Or is because he's very dreamy? I don't need to see any of these things.
I watched it, and he was making a speech, and he was like, I just want to thank my wife, because without her, you know, staying home and taking care of the family, none of this would be possible. I wouldn't be able to be out here chasing my dreams.
As if he hadn't endeared himself to women around the world
I was listening to the background. I'm able to compartmentalize.
Don't say something
gross right now. As he was talking, I could hear...
Ew.
And it was around the room in the Beverly Hilton Hotel ballroom. All the panties were dropping as he was speaking, because he's Ryan Gosling.
How do they drop, like, with they're being ripped off, that sound?
No, suddenly they just become very loose and
saturated.
Yes, they just need to come off as though by supernatural force.
Okay.
And I wouldn't know, because I've never witnessed it, because I'm not Ryan Gosling.
Right. You could say the same speech. That's the thing.
It wouldn't. No. Right.
Right.
So you gave
everybody. Yeah.
So you gave
Michelle's
my
like, no.
Speech.
What he said was really good. I was like, no. What he looked like when he said is
yeah,
what
that's,
you want.
That's the thing.
Newcomer Tom Hiddleston.
So good.
That's really cemented.
It was so good. Oh, Ed, you would have loved it.
Tom Hiddleston, you may not be aware of him yet, Ed. He is a pretty
prolific. Of course, he plays
prolific.
Loki in the Avengers. So
he's
Ed knows who he is.
He's a British actor.
I did see one Avengers movie.
Okay. Yeah. He's a British actor that is in a lot of stuff.
You've seen him. They've talked
he
about
won
him
an award
being the next James Bond.
For Night Watchman, I think it's
yeah,
called.
Yeah, he's in. Yeah. A mini series he's in
okay,
with.
Okay, so, and he also.
You, Lori.
He also dated Taylor Swift
right?
quite publicly for about 3 months after she broke up with that Diplo guy.
Right.
Calvin Harris. Anyway, he got up and gave an acceptance speech, which was one of the best humble brag.
Oh, it was amazing.
I'm so fucking great speeches I've ever heard. And it was so on the nose that they panned around the room and people like Christian Slater and Vince Vaughn were
their mouths agape.
Like expressions of like, holy fucking shit.
He talked about how basically in a nutshell, he said he went to the South Sudan and the villagers had seen.
He went to do some like aid work with Doctors Without Borders, which he kept referring to by their French name in French.
That's so good.
Like five times.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
And said, they all came up to him and said, you know what? We, as relief to the work that we do, which is so traumatizing, we got relief by watching your miniseries.
Yes.
That's what he announced. That's what he announced.
Heroic.
Great.
Yes.
Great.
They saw.
You should Google that YouTube.
They saw his AMC miniseries, and it got him through the pain really of having to.
I'm not doing it justice.
Cure
you
people
should look
of
it
Ebola
up.
And losing limbs in the diamond mines.
Pretty great.
It was amazing. That said, takeaways from the Golden Globes. La La Land won a bunch of awards. This is a movie I will never see because it's a musical, and all musicals are
terrible. There is zero chance I'm going to see that.
Never.
I'll watch it if it's on a plane.
Yeah. You're a chick. But
if I'm on a plane and it's on, I'll watch it.
What's that movie that I loved that won Best Picture?
Oh, Manchester by the Sea.
No, that didn't win, but that's a good movie too. Have you seen that, Ed?
Oh, Best Picture.
It's very
impressive.
Moonlight.
You recommended Moonlight. It. It's just psyching myself up to see a depressing movie. It's tough.
Yes.
It's tough.
I'll see it when it's on cable, but like to go to the theaters to see that, I don't know.
If you go, you should take a flask.
See Moonlight, see Manchester by the Sea. And if you're into weird French movies, see the movie Elle.
Isabelle Huppert won. That's me doing my French accent. She won Best Actress.
She totally deserved it because
she's
incredible in that movie. But it's a very strange movie directed by Paul Verhoeven.
If you're into weird movies, check it out.
Okay.
Oh, Paul Verhoeven.
Yes. That's exactly.
He's back.
That's exactly the reaction you want. Yeah. Check out that movie, Elle. Okay. Let's get into the life coaching portion of the show. This is somebody that last week we did a mild shaming of. Here at the show, we offer you the opportunity to contribute financially to the show via a website called Patreon. patreon.com. You can go there, patreon.com/theballerlifestyle, and you can make a financial contribution. Last week, we made a bit of fun about somebody that had given a rather smallish donation. Any amount.
Not me. I did not.
I did. Any amount that you contribute is very much appreciated. So, but this person, this is a person that's a friend of the show. This is someone we've helped in life. This is someone known to us. So it was just kind of funny that he chose to make what I would consider a minuscule donation, considering that he is somebody that has been involved in the show. He has responded in only his, in a style only he can. The subject line of the email is "Your stiffest Patreon." Brian, Ed, and Fancy, let's just get right to it. My apologies for the indefensible $1 per month contribution I made. Fancy Sauce's voice had a serious whiff of disapproval to it. That sauce hit me right in the face. I had a pretty good chuckle with Brian's super subtle clues as to who the stiff might be. But I felt like Chevy Chase's boss in Christmas Vacation. So I started thinking about how much I tipped the high schoolers for cleaning my clubs after a round and realized that I should be treating you guys with the same charitable spirit. I hope you'll accept my increased donation amount of $5. That is what you give the clubby. Now, to the fun stuff. Have y'all tried this thing called acro yoga? I've done yoga. No. I don't know about acro yoga. A couple weeks ago, I grabbed a few glasses of wine with a girl who used to work for me when I was in college. She has since become a very talented yogi. After wine, we went back to my place where I told her that I had been considering trying yoga to help me avoid golf injuries. I love reading so much.
Jesus.
Having seen Instagram videos of this new acro yoga, I asked her about it and she started to show me how to do it. About 30 seconds into it, I had a raging hard-on that wouldn't go away. A true diamond cutter. Foot and hand placements for her became tricky propositions with my pelvic area, but we kept going for a few more minutes. As you can imagine, what happened next is nature took over. Clothes came off and we really got after it. Brian/Ed, my question for you is, who is the genius that created this acro yoga and why hasn't he been giving a medal of honor for branding a new way of making foreplay while also incorporating some good stretching? Best, Reed in Houston.
Well, my first thought when I saw this email is Reed's
a hero.
Reed's a hero, and thank you for the donation.
Absolutely.
But if you were doing acro yoga with Kim Davis, that Kentucky clerk, you would not have a diamond cutter. Right. So I hate to tell you, but the acro yoga was just a bullshit foreplay move, and it has nothing to do with any sort of yoga.
Of course. I like that he's soliciting our advice on, like, we're going to tell him, give him some... have some knowledge about this yoga.
He's having sex.
When he's just telling us that he bones his old intern.
Right. Yeah. And I like that he's very curious about yoga after a few glasses of wine with a chick that he clearly wanted to fuck.
And I like that not only did the yoga help him get laid, but helped limber him up for the next day's golf game, because Reed in Houston is nothing if not a golfer. Oh, I love it. Thank you very much for that, Reed. You are the man. Thank you for the donation, and that was a fantastic email. Kate.
Congrats on the yoga.
Kate, anything to add? Would you like to coach me up in a bit of acro yoga later? I'm a little stiff.
No.
All over.
I don't know what that is. I'm going to Google it, though.
Okay, Google it. Okay, here's
I was just busting your chops, Reed.
Oh, yeah, Reed, you're the man. Here's an F, Mary, Kill from Ish Ballers. Here's this week's FMK. I don't know if Kate's going to know who these people are. Chris Berman, Chris Christie, Chris Matthews. Kate, you don't know who Chris Berman is.
No, who's that?
He's this fat, sporty guy.
He's a blowhard.
Yeah,
he's like a giant tomato. He NFL. But he
Chris Matthews,
he's been doing NFL for 30 years and doesn't know the sport of football.
Chris Matthews is the guy on Hardball who loves the movie Love Actually.
Yeah, right. And,
I saw that on some show. They kept
John Oliver.
John Oliver's a good thing.
And
on it.
Chris Christie is Ed's governor.
I know who Chris Christie is. Yeah. I'm definitely gonna fuck.
Are you gonna fuck Chris Christie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you're going to kill Chris Berman and marry Chris Matthews. Okay, Ed Daly, quickly.
I'm envious of that because I would like
Chris
Berman.
Chris Matthews and I are going to lay in bed on the weekends and watch Love Actually.
I actually know somebody who golfed with Chris Matthews and said he was actually like a pretty funny, fun time to hang out with. Like it was, he said he was expecting him to just be like, have a hard on for all things politics. But he said he was just an affable guy. So I'm going to marry him. Because my sister is a teacher in New Jersey, I know some teachers. Chris Christie has to die. And then also that bridge bullshit.
I feel like I've had
commuters adding like 2 hours to people's commutes. Fuck that dude. So he's going to die. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to fuck that bloviating tomato, Chris Berman.
Yes. Chris Christie, he's a real piece of shit. Fuck him. He's dead.
Yeah. What if when I have sex with him, he dies of a heart attack?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
You kill too. I'm going to fuck Chris Matthews. I'm going to marry Chris Berman because this guy, when he's not on TV, he's probably a pretty good party. Like everyone says he's a cool dude. He's got the whole year with me leather story. Like the guy is probably not that bad when he's not on TV. So I'm going to marry Chris Berman.
I heard someone say in the past week that what you see is what you get. Like he's the same Chris Berman as you see on TV. That would be terrible to hang out with that guy on TV.
Yeah, he's a little
he's awful. Yeah. He's the unfunny uncle you're trying to avoid.
Okay, Kate, pop culture, what is going on in the world? We've already talked a little Golden Globes. What else is going on in the world of pop culture?
Apparently there's a story going around the British tabloids about how George Michael, RIP, had 500 lovers over the course of 7 years. Its source is not some hustler looking for money, though. It's the late singer's friend, in quotes, because I think we can use that term loosely in the story. None other than shitbag Piers Morgan.
He's a huge piece of shit.
Does anyone like that guy?
Yeah, there's some column he writes called the Weird Diary column for the Mail on Sunday.
Yeah.
Which is a paper London in tabloid. The UK.
Is that the one with the chick's titties on page 3?
No.
The Mail is garbage.
The Mail is garbage.
Yeah.
Anyway, he writes a column where he claims that the TV personality, that he recalls a dinner party at a mutual friend's house at which Michael was outrageously indiscreet, and you need to imagine Piers Morgan's annoying accent, as well as hugely amusing, unpredictable, provocative, and entertaining. Meaning that he talked about his sex life, answered a hypothetical question about which woman he'd most like to sleep with, and relayed an amusing story about Rod Stewart. Anyway, he was just trying to impress people.
He sounds like a great party guest.
It just sounds to me like...
And when he was talking about Rod Stewart, did they talk about him having to have his stomach pumped?
That's true.
Because it was full of semen?
That's true.
No, I got a look from Rod Stewart once.
I know. Hold on. That's Kate dropping names.
Anyway, it just sounds like typical Piers Morgan over-exaggerating.
Yeah, I'm not going to slut-shame George Michael in life or death. I wouldn't do that to anyone. Like, I'm surprised it's that few.
And he never mentions George Michael's long-term boyfriends in this column. So
yeah.
I doubt they were really
But friends. I saw 6 Feet Under. These gays, in a relationship, they're still both men. So they're both sort of free to go fuck around.
Great.
Interesting.
You know, it's so like, hey, we're both dudes here. So, you know, it's like, it's cool if you, you know, get a blowjob from the caddy, the cart boy.
I don't think that's true for
all. It was on 6 Feet Under. That's the only gay couple that I'm intimate
gay
with.
Gay relationships at all.
Well, I've known some single gay guys and it's like green light all the time.
They always want to bang. And imagine if you were, imagine like, if they're famous.
In the bar.
Yes. Yeah. This guy's George Michael. Like any... You know, he's the equivalent, like you wouldn't shame a straight famous guy for banging too many chicks.
Shame anyone. No. Why would you shame anyone?
I know.
I'm not into this kind of shit.
Piers Morgan's an idiot.
Douche. Okay, what else, Kate?
I have an update on the flip or flop divorce.
Oh. Ed, you're intimately acquainted with the flip or flop family, are you not? Tariq El Moussa and his wife, Christina?
These were the people who were chasing one another with guns or something?
Right. Tariq ran out of the house with guns and then later challenged my dear friend Walk Off HBP to a fight on Twitter. He wanted him to come to his gym and get in the ring.
Well, Tariq has filed for divorce from wife Christina.
She was fucking the contractor.
We're told they are resolved to continue their show Flip or Flop, thank God.
Oh, that won't work out.
But interestingly, he has asked for joint custody of their two kids and also wants her to pay him spousal support, but wants the judge to block any moves she makes to collect it from him.
Yeah. Yes.
They were co-stars, or does like she have more of a career than him?
Yeah, I
think they're co-stars on the show. I'm sure their deal is.
She has a little more going on moving forward. Mm-hmm. She probably has like some book deals or something, endorsements. Best of luck to them. And I don't, unfortunately, this Tariq, he lives on the wrong side of the 91 freeway for Southern California local people. So I don't think my buddy Walk Off HBP is going to be meeting him in his gym to have a boxing fight. But I ain't mad at you, Tariq.
I don't know if you saw these photos on Monday, but David Spade was involved in a pretty bad car wreck.
I actually did see this.
His car is totaled.
The whole, one of the wheels, he had a Range Rover, and one of the rear wheels with the whole suspension attached to it still had like shot across the intersection, was like on the sidewalk on the other side of the street.
There was a few.
And what happened to him?
I think he's okay.
There was a video where he gives a play-by-play of the wreck that I didn't watch.
Oh, yes.
He's wearing a Bass Pro's hat.
Well, this Bass Pro Shops. Yeah, that's Bass where you want to be taken.
Yeah, I want Brian to take me to Bass Pro Shops because I've never been, but there's one like half an hour from my house and we pass it on the freeway.
Yeah, it's much more than half an hour away. It's about an hour plus away in an area that I would never
go. We're probably never going there.
We're not going to Bass Pro Shops. Range Rover, very safe vehicle. You got a big,
that's what he heavy says. Vehicle he says like that. The Range Rover saved his life. Basically. Yeah. So.
David Spade, he's one of these guys you forget about. Insanely funny. Incredibly
he's
funny.
He's very, very funny.
Yes.
Love
yes.
that guy.
Super funny, super little, and just an unmitigated, untouched champion cocksman. Unbelievable cocksman.
Yes.
Just
absolutely.
Really, he used to bang my roommate, who I shared a wall with. True story.
Dropping names.
And then one year he gave her as a Christmas present a $500 gift card to Victoria's Secret. And she was so offended. She's like,
offended?
She's like, this is a gift that he sent his assistant out to get.
Yeah.
And he probably gives this to all his.
Right.
And why was she fucking him? Because he was famous.
She thought he was her boyfriend.
She thought that things were going to go in a different direction, I'm sure. Anyway,
did you hear any heads bouncing off the wall or any headboards going when David Spade was in there slaying it?
I mean, there was noises. I'm not gonna
like grunts and groans.
Going to it, but
was she really into him for his looks? Or was maybe because of his fame there was something going on?
Is David Spade a loud comer?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, okay.
Oh no! So gross. Don't tell me that. Hey, I would.
Sorry, Mom.
Change
some
a lot.
Guys. Some guys are loud comers.
Stop it.
All right? That's all I'm saying.
Gross.
Some guys really express themselves.
I don't want to know that.
They ejaculate.
All right, moving on.
Feels really good, and they just let out a sound. I'm just wondering if David Spade's one of those
guys. Do you guys know who Scott Storch is?
I do. I know who Scott Storch is.
He's a music mogul.
I've heard the name.
Scott Storch produced a...
Is he that Christian band?
No, that's Scott Stapp.
He's a music producer.
Scott Storch was one of these guys in the 90s. I feel like maybe Puff Daddy he worked with. Okay, here. Oh, 15 best Scott Storch songs. I'm going to tell you right now. He produced a lot of hits in the 90s, and he got really fucking rich. But then for some reason, he needed like 27 Aston Martins, and he was like buying all these cars, and he'd buy them, and then and he'd had a big mansion in Miami.
Did he have an MTV Cribs episode?
He did, and he had cocaine problems.
He definitely had cocaine problems.
So he produced.
He was young. He was like he was young when he hit it. It was like in his 20s.
And he was one of these real nerds. And here's the problem. Here's what happens when you don't get any pussy when you're young, and then you all of a sudden you get lots of pussy. It clouds your thinking. You can't make rational decisions. Okay, he produced Busta Rhymes' "Bladow."
Oh, that is a
Memphis
big one.
Bleak featuring Jay-Z and Beanie Siegel, "Murda Murda" from 2003.
Oh, see, he was making big dough.
Beyonce, "Naughty Girl," 2003. T.I., "Chillin' with My Bitch," 2004. Terror Squad, "Lean Back." Mario, "Let Me Love You." These are all big songs. Chris Brown featuring Jewel Santana, "Run It." 50 Cent, "Just a Little Bit." Little Kim, "Lighters Up."
Wow.
Chamillionaire, "Turn It Up."
Wow, that's a big player.
Fat Joe featuring Lil Wayne, "Make It
And
Rain."
I feel like he was like 25.
Yeah, he was super young.
When he was
at
the height of his fame.
But
so anyway.
His star has fallen. What's going on with him now?
Okay, so apparently.
He's broke. He's broke as shit.
Apparently, he got married to some chick.
Yeah.
Christina Gray. In Vegas one night when they were wasted.
Oh, Britney Spears style.
In 2011. And he has only just now, 5 years later, filed for an annulment.
5 years ago? So he's been married this whole time?
There was a picture of annulment. The handwritten request for an annulment.
Because he can't afford a lawyer.
On the internet. And it's like, I mean, he looks like he was wasted when he wrote the handwritten annulment request as well. It's barely legible.
He probably never isn't wasted. He's always wearing sunglasses. So
but I like that he's asking for this marriage, that he's saying they got married and then never saw each other again. And he's waiting 5 years later to get it annulled.
I wonder if he could find her.
Pretty funny.
That is pretty funny.
Okay. That's my segment, everybody.
That's it?
Yeah.
Excellent job.
Mellow this week.
No, great job. We appreciate it.
Bravo.
Yes, excellent job, Kate McManus.
Thank you.
Ed Daly, Reed in Houston. All of the people that reached out. I'm very, very appreciative of our audience. Everybody that involves themselves with the show means a lot to me. We'll do it again soon. For Kate McManus, for Ed Daly, I'm Brian Beckner. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye, guys.